What's the name of this song?
I Get By. Single off the new album, Everlast, Ungrateful Living.
Government man keep calling my house, talking about I owe, harassing my spouse. Gotta park my truck on another block, cause the subprime loan got my ass in hock. Got a couple good friends with helping hands. I need a brand new job with a healthcare plan. They closed the plan, they stole my job, and told me crime don't pay unless you ask the mob. So I smoke a little grass, drink a little wine, watch a little too, try to kill a little time. Every single day I fall a little more behind, but I'm paying it no mind, it'll all be fine. I get by, yeah. I barely get by.
It's good shit.
Oh, I like
love
this,
it,
man.
I barely get by.
This is classic.
You gotta check out the video.
Where can you find the video?
On YouTube, Everlast Music Channel.
We only gave you a taste, ladies and gentlemen. There's more of that song, obviously. But you could tell that's classic shit. That's you in your groove, man.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one of those CDs, I was talking about this earlier, that I buy CDs, and I usually like two or three songs. This is one of those CDs where I honestly like every single song on this CD. And there's a few of them that, like My House, I fucking love. This is an awesome CD, man.
It's been a while since you put something out. So is it like... A
couple years.
How many years has it been?
Two. 08, I put out a record.
Do you like having like that kind of a space in between records where you really get to work on your shit and really get to like put it in a form you like?
Yeah, I got no choice. It's just songs come to me in groups and bunches, and then I get caught up just living. You know what I mean? I can't force an issue. If I tried to write a song when I wasn't feeling like writing
right.
a song, it would just be horrible. You know, I mean, I've done it. I've tried it. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes it's like life says don't write a record.
You know what I mean? Right.
And then I tour and I lay back and I I take my time. I like taking in as much music as I do putting out music. So I listen to things. I learn more about music.
Right. Do you like when you write, do you just say, do you have like a whim, like it just comes across you, like, now I'm going to sit down right now and start writing a song? Like, you don't have like a set aside time or anything, like where you go, I'm just going to work on music? How does it work with you?
Nowadays, I just go, you know, I keep a studio away from the house, just, you know, kind of and make it like a job. Just go every day, you know, not quite 9 to 5 hours, but try to keep it as respectful to the family and whatnot as you
right.
can. You know, before it was just, yes, I mean, if I wanted to work at 2 in the morning, I work at 2 in the morning, you know what I mean? And that's still the case, but I don't really live in that hour anymore.
Yeah, I don't either, but there's something kind of badass about that shit that comes out at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, you know, that's why you can't, you know, can't not do it if it needs to be done, but I'm not sitting around at 2 in the morning waiting on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it jumps on me, I'm working on it, but...
I always personally felt like with writing anything that you don't get into the real trance until like the whole house is asleep.
Oh yeah.
Until it's just you and the silence and the keyboard, and then you get into the real trance.
Well, that's also why I keep a separate area. Like, you know, I'm just talking about like a good hour away from the house. I got to drive to go to the studio,
right.
and I usually spend a day or two there and, you know, just lock my mind out of everything and try and... You know, there's no windows, so it could be 2 in the morning, you know.
Are you always writing shit down, too? Like, if you're in a restaurant or something, you have an idea for something, do you write it down or you just fuck with it in your
head? I've honestly never written an idea down, ever.
Wow.
Not a lyric, not a rap lyric,
So you just keep them all in your head?
Yeah, not a chord, like, progression on it.
Wow.
If I can't remember it, it's lost to the universe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful about that, man. That's pretty badass.
Like, yeah, I'm like a beautiful mind, kind of an idiot savant, you know. I don't even know half the chords I play on the guitar, man. I've just copied them from other people.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Doesn't Jay-Z do that as well? He doesn't write any of his raps down?
I believe so, yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So all of your shit is
It just started for me as a way of exercising your mind when I was a young kid trying to be a rapper. I was like, you should always have it ready in your brain.
Wow.
And then my style of writing just became kind of visual. And it's like in my mind, when I write lyrics, I have the pictures in my brain. I equate it to that cat on Oz that drew pictures on paper, but he was a poet. You know what I mean? It wasn't words. It was always this picture, but he would read it as a poem. And it's almost the same thing. It's three-dimensional in my head. A song, the minute I would start writing the words out two-dimensionally, it would just lose all meaning and feeling to me.
Oh, that's fascinating. So you feel like the writing in just a verbal and an audio way.
Yeah.
Is the way to do it and just store it in memory.
It's just three-dimensional for me. Like in my mind, it's like three-dimensional pictures of what I'm writing about. And
that totally
like
makes sense.
The minute I commit them to paper and they're two-dimensional, I lose all it. I hate. I mean, it's a despisal. It go from something I'm really digging to let me write that down and see it. And then I see it as a whole different me, and it's not. It's words. It's paper. It's
that's amazing.
Loses
and you,
it.
Yeah, that's a fascinating
might
way.
Might be why I only put out a record every 2 or 3 years.
That's right. Really interesting, though. But you're totally right. Well, there's some people that have just a way of expressing themselves. That's like a fun way to listen to. I always bring up my friend Joey Diaz. Do you know Joey Diaz, the comedian?
Sounds familiar.
He's if you ever listen to the podcast, he's on all the time. He's one of my best friends, and he's this guy that is just. He's the way he talks is just like poetry.
Right.
You know, he's just like, "What's up, dog? What are we? Where's this party kicking, motherfucker? What are we doing, bitches?"
Right.
He's giving everybody knuckles, and everybody's laughing and smiling. It just takes you off in a wave. And Joey Diaz is not something you could write down on paper.
Right.
That's a flavor. That's a real live, like as you said, three dimensional flavor to the way his words come out.
It's alive. It's you know. It surrounds me in my head. If I'm writing it in my head, it's all around me.
Wow.
The minute I commit it to paper, it's just flat and
so
loses it.
Do you have, so if none of this is all written down, do you have like a set list in your mind of how you put it in order in your shows? Or do you wing it? Do you go on how you feel?
No, I'll write the titles down for a set list. I'm saying in the, it's also become a superstition at this point in my life. It's like, after you make a record, they want the lyrics. You know,
right,
the publishing company is like that's giving you money for what you've written.
Right.
Wants to know what you wrote. but I have to have one of my people, my assistants, like, hey, write the lyrics down. I'll sit there and dictate them to you.
Right.
Because it's become like a superstition at this point too.
Wow. Have you ever tried to like break away from that? Like, let me see if I could just write one
and start
out
from scratch by
from
writing
scratch.
It down. I have, and it's just again, it's like I live in a song until it's done. You know what I mean? Until it's finished. It's all around me. Once it's on paper, it's like it's.
Well, you hit some notes, man. You hit some notes in that What It's Like song. We're like, whoa. Like, you know, the one about the girl finding out she's pregnant, the guy leaving, and she find that man again, she's going to cut off his balls. Like, you hit that note. And that note maybe wasn't something that would have ever been the same if it was written down. You know what I'm saying? Like, you hit it with the feeling of being that girl in that situation, and it was realistic and you know, like alive.
Right.
Three-dimensional.
Yeah. I mean, there's times I wish I could take that and write it on a piece of paper in a way that I thought was beautiful and artistic, because I'd love to write a movie, but I can't do that. It's this thing about music and the way it lives in my head. I don't really know how to make music, man. I've been faking it for a long time, dude. I've just been picking up things and making sounds that I'm like, I like this sound. I'm going to make this sound. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
That's the realest thing way I can put it. I mean, I've learned along the way how to become, you know, a musician and how to produce a record. But I'm saying it started with me just kind of being like, I'm just going to rap or whatever it was I was going to do, you know, and then pick up the guitar. Was just, I'm just going to play this little thing I wrote and maybe if
that's kind of brilliant though in a way, because it's so uninfluenced and influenced at the same time, you know, instead of being influenced by like classical instruction and, you know, structure and all that stuff, you're influenced by just what you enjoy and imitating that, you know, and then expressing it in your own way.
It's, you know,
that's amazing. That's very rare that, you know, that someone's ever done that, right? And that when you meet other people that are musicians, do they have the same story?
No, not really. I mean, a lot of them really trip on the way I do what I do, you know. Especially like when I bring, because I always bring in cats to help produce records. I think even though I could probably accomplish the deed on my own, you need people to challenge you
right.
in the course of creating something just to make it that much better. Make
just
sure
to collaborate and bounce yeah. shit back and
or
forth
just
with somebody
people that you even trust
too, right?
enough yeah. that would say, that sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even just even if it's just somebody that's that your guy, he's you're my guy to make sure
right.
if something sucks, you're right. the voice. You know what I mean? Whose opinion you trust.
Yeah.
But yeah, also creatively, whatever it is, you know what I mean? There's a lot of instruments I can't play, you know what I mean? That I know cats that can play. So it's just, you know, I don't, they, you know, all them go to school, all that. That's what I'm saying. I steal everything I can from all of them. You know what I mean? It's like I'm always the worst musician in the room in my mind because I don't know what I don't, I still, even though I'll get up and play with anybody and I'm, it'll work. I still have this thing in the back of my mind where it's like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You know what I mean? It's like, man, okay, I'm just kind of sneaking on stage and seeing if I blend. I'm like the soy bomb guy from the Grammys. Remember that guy who came out during Dylan with the soy bomb written on his chest and was wild? I'm like, I'm just sneaking onto the set trying to get something.
But you got to know that people must love that. There's something so authentic about that. There's something so authentic about just kind of like learning how to play music by making noises with a guitar until you figured it out. That's pretty fucking
stealing
badass.
A cord, watching the videos real close and
right.
VHS pausing them and the thing shaking and you're trying to see where his fingers are on the thing. We're like, what chord is that? Okay, I'm going to try and do that.
Did you read a book on it or anything?
Not, you know, I took a few guitar lessons when I was real young, like maybe 6 or 8 guitar lessons, and then kind of lost interest in it. And then because hip hop kind of stole my mind away. And then later on during the House of Pain days, there's actually a bunch of stuff on House of Pain records that are just little things that I played that we looped up and put, you know, like little country riff for that shit kicker song. Every time I go to town, people start kicking my dog around. There's a guitar piece under there that I played. So there's little bits of it, but it's like after I left House of Pain, I had a guitar around me all the time, and I just started really actually saying, let me see what I can do with this thing. And the cat who helped me produce Whitey Ford Sings the Blues, or I should say produced the record with me, Dante Ross, we were just working on hip-hop music. And I was just kind of crashing at his place and playing guitar all the time, and he'd be like, what is that? And it was this thing, and I didn't even know what it was yet, but that's what turned out to be what it's like. He's like, we're going to record that tomorrow. And I was like, I don't even know what it is. So now I'm thinking I got to record this thing tomorrow. So I stay up all night and I like write lyrics to it. And, you know, we put it into a little beat and we were sitting there listening to it. And we're like, that works. But how does it work with all this stuff you're doing, this rap record? And that's how the other songs in Whitey Ford just kind of started happening. Like I said, the music just started surrounding me. I listen to the music more than, let's say, I have this definite idea of what a song is. I'll get a lyrical idea or a little riff idea, and I'll start working on that. And then once that takes a little bit of life, it'll start telling me what it wants. It'll be like, I'll hear a slide guitar on it, or oh, there should be a piano right there. I can hear it in the space that's in between. It's telling me.
Right.
I'm not this dude who like I know what parts and what, but I'll be like, I know what sound should go right there because it's I can hear it. And then you add that sound and it will subharmonically create this other ghost sound in there that you're like, oh, that's a violin I can hear. Let's put a violin in there. And it builds itself into what it's supposed to be.
That's amazing.
That's pretty fucking badass, man. When I was a kid, I had friends that were musicians, and I was always terrified of learning a musical instrument. I was like, that shit looks like it'd take
over
your life.
Me too, man. I'm still terrified of learning a musical instrument, man.
Do you find like technology has helped you a lot, like you know, like not GarageBand, but like programming?
I am
the
most
programs nowadays.
I have to keep an engineer around all the time on duty and ready to go because I can get on the laptop and go on YouTube and find some stupid videos that'll make me laugh. And,
right.
You know, I can get on the Facebook and the Twitter and whatnot, but I you know. If I could probably get 2 tracks recorded at the studio on my own before I just, you know,
right.
turned in for the day. That would take me probably about 6 hours, which would take him about 8 minutes.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So the technology it's helped by making it easier to have your own studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of spending $1 million on a studio, I spend $40,000-$50,000 and I have a really beautiful studio.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But, I'm still with just it's all about 90% of what I do is, you know, either at my studio or late at night in a room by myself with the acoustic guitar, banging on it, trying to think of something funny or witty or...
What you really nailed was this kind of like bluesy, smooth, hip-hoppy sound, you know, that nobody had ever done before. Like what it's like. That's like, there's a lot of blues to that song, you know.
I just kind of walked a line between Brad from Sublime and Wyclef Jean, you know what I mean? I just kind of really like was like, I saw they, you know, they, I saw what Wyclef started doing, you know, with all the, his R&B and island influence music, mixing that with hip hop. And I was just kind of starting to record this guitar stuff, the What It's Like song. And I was a big fan of Sublime and how he always like injected these little hip hop phrases into lyrics and things. I knew he had to be never really knew the dude, but knew he had to be kind of a B-boy to a certain degree. And those kind of things, that's kind of how we saw that it would all work when we were looking at the record, me and my friend Dante. My label thought Whitey Ford Sings the Blues was a horrible idea. they're like,
isn't it that funny how that always works?
Yeah, it was, because we were convinced this is gonna work. This is like, there's no, you know, it's just what it is. You know, it's all the same thing to me. That's what I always say, is like, I consider myself a hip hop artist, but I also don't really believe in any genre of music. I just think music's music. You know what I mean? Tony Bennett has some stuff that makes me go like this.
Right.
You know, I'll be like, oh, that's hip hop to me, because that's the same thing hip hop made me do.
How lucky,
you
know, can one guy be?
The right Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
You know, to somebody else, that's rock and roll. Somebody else calls that jazz. Somebody, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's whatever makes you personally.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
You know, kind of feeling.
Yeah, I like a lot of country music, and some people give me shit about that. I'm like, I like some Toby Keith songs, man. Yeah.
I'm not so big on new country, because I'm just not hip to the game, but I love country music, man. You're gonna like that record, John.
I'm sure I love it. I'm a huge fan of yours, man.
So you drive home tonight, you pop that record in, and by the time you get home, if I don't see like a text from you, like, that's a badass record.
It goes great with whiskey, I feel.
I believe it will.
But
you know, Anthony Bourdain.
My music ain't country, but it's definitely country friendly, man.
Yeah, so. Well, it's got a slang to it, you know? It's got a smoothness to it. You know, it's great shit, man. I love it. I'm a huge fan of your shit. And one of the things Anthony Bourdain said, we were having this conversation once. You know, he didn't become famous till he was like in his 40s.
Oh, hold up, let me pick up that name you just dropped there, man.
Bleep. No, it's because for you. He said, well, the coolest thing about becoming famous is that you get to meet famous people. Like, that's the coolest thing.
Absolutely.
And meeting you and hanging out with you at the UFC. Like, one time we were smoking a joint in a Vegas casino. We're in the middle of a bar, and you go, you want to smoke a joint? I go, yeah, where do you want to go? And he goes, Everlast just goes, what do you mean go?
Yeah, I was like, where are you
going? He pulls out a lighter.
We're going to smoke it right here.
He just pulls out
a
lighter. I'm like, oh, all right, well, fuck it, man. If I get arrested, at least I'm getting arrested with Everlast.
Arrested? At the worst, they'd ask us to put it out, man. You know, at the worst, they'd be like, hey, come on, man. They give you that look like, dude, don't make my job harder.
Well, you can still smoke in a nightclub in Vegas, huh?
If, you know.
Is there cigarettes allowed in nightclubs in Vegas?
I don't know, but we've smoked in the nightclub before. Remember, we just stepped out that door and we smoked?
Yeah.
But you can't
smoke.
That's
out that door. That's outside. But is there an inside area? Are you allowed to smoke inside anymore?
I think now it's not. I'm trying to remember last time.
You can still do it in the casinos, because I still see people smoking in the casinos.
Oh, they're not going to stop that. Yeah,
pulling that out, though. They're slowly pulling the cigarettes
out. They're going to fight that tooth and nail, though.
I guess it's the real problem is the people that work there, and I get it, man. If you're a waitress, why the fuck should you have to breathe that shit in all day?
I ain't smoked a cigarette in a long time.
That's a tricky drug.
Yeah, man.
You still think about it?
Nah, see, because what happened to me was I woke up in the hospital and had emergency heart surgery, like, 98. So it was like, I was like, oh, I'm done smoking.
Wow, and that was from
cigarettes? I didn't even. I mean, like, I still smoke some weed now and then, but like, you know, even for like 3 years, 2 years after that, no, about 2 years after the surgery, I didn't. I was like on some hell no. I'm alive. I'm trying to, but I could never sleep because I what happened was I went to bed. I'm real tired. I'm not feeling good. Went to sleep and woke up in Cedars. Like, after surgery. So, like, my mind was on this, like, don't go to sleep kind of, like, trip.
Oh, holy shit.
For, like, a long
shit.
Time, I was like an insomniac, man.
Oh,
and then,
my God.
But I would let my band guys smoke a little weed up in the front of the bus. And one night, I couldn't sleep, as usual. But somebody had something real, just, like, reminiscent. I was like, wow, now, that's something quality up there. You know? I was like,
right?
So I went out there just kind of smelling. I was like, you know what? Let me just. And everybody was like, are you sure? I was like, I'm a grown man. Let me like that. That's all I did. Bang, I gave it back to him. Then I went to the back of the bus. I slept like a goddamn baby, man. So it became for like a good long time, few years. That's all it was, right before bed. Sleep like a baby.
A lot of people use it for that. I know a lot of people that are insomniacs.
And then, of course, you know, we want to start. You know, after a while, you lose that humbleness that almost dying gives you. And you're out at the club, and somebody's like, I hit the joint before I go to bed. I'll hit it now. Bow. And next thing you know, you're smoking weed.
It's lucky you had somebody next to you, though, because you just went to sleep. What if you didn't have somebody next to you?
Apparently,
there's
more to it than that. Like during the day, like the guys that were making the record with me, we had the studio in my house. I had a house up in Mount Olympus in Laurel Canyon, and we built the studio up in there to record the record, and everybody was living in the house. And apparently just all day I just didn't feel well, and I didn't look well. And when I went to lay down, I guess somebody came and checked on me just to be like, hey, you all right? And I guess I was breathing funny.
Oh, wow.
And they just panicked. Wow. Called the hot, like shook me a few times. I guess I wouldn't wake up.
Damn.
Called the hospital. You know, it was my extreme fortune to live in a neighborhood that was the closest hospital was Cedar Sinai.
Oh, nice.
And that it was you know, also my Irish luck that the best heart surgeon in the world, who Dr. William Tranto, who's chief of heart surgery over there, I think maybe even of all surgery, saw my case and told somebody else, you can't do that. I have to do that. Save my life. What happened to me is the same thing that killed John Ritter in like 30 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Same exact thing.
What is it exactly?
I believe, if I remember correctly, it was called an upper ascending aortic aneurysm. And what I have in there now is a St. Jude's heart valve. It's a titanium heart valve. Like, I tick like a watch, man.
Whoa.
Want to hear? Hold on. Get real sensitive on this mug right here.
Oh, my God. Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah, like 14 years now. That's like white noise to me. But I could take my pulse without any. I could just take my
Holy
pulse.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Amazing.
You have a titanium valve in your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Is it Bluetooth enabled?
Dude, you're like a robot.
Bionic rapper, man.
For real, that is kind of crazy, man. Isn't it amazing that they can do shit like that?
Oh, yeah.
And you've had it in your body for how many years?
What, in 98? February 98.
That's amazing.
That freaked me out, man. That's
incredible, dude.
Really,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to react to that. That's amazing.
It's alien technology, man. That's why I love watching your Twitter, dude, because there'll always be some crazy tweet, like some fan will tweet you like, yo, aliens dropped off the cure for cancer at whatever it is, Fort Knox.
Yeah, it's flying over
Article
some
here.
Hospital right now.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, man, I love that because I know I got alien technology in my body, man.
That's crazy.
Titanium. That's
I got a titanium heart valve,
that's
man.
Insane.
How does that work?
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, imagine trying to explain that to someone 200 years ago. We're going to cut this dude open, and we're going to stick some shit inside there where his shit's broken. It's going to be made out of a metal.
Witchcraft. You're just a witch.
A rare metal. Yeah. What?
They wouldn't even bother trying to comprehend it, man.
Stitch
they just,
this man
you're
up.
A witch. Burn him.
Keep all the bacteria off of him. How are you going to do that? Like, that's what the bacteria is there to test the weakness. You know, you get cut open like that. It's supposed to attack. That's nature. Like, we're subverting the entire system, sticking titanium inside of people. It's amazing. It's incredible.
I have to take a blood thinner for the rest of my life so a clot doesn't form around it and break off and go into my brain.
What is the blood thinner?
Huh?
What's a blood thinner? How's that work?
It's an anticoagulant. Just a pill that you take that, you know, and I have to, like...
Does it make you, like, bleed more if you get cut?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You won't clot as fast.
Wow. Holy
I had to
shit.
Give up riding my motorcycle and a few other activities of that nature.
Because if you get cut, you just start bleeding out.
Yeah. If a severe enough cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Holy shit. Isn't it amazing how the human body can just be fragile at some points and just you have to just deal with some issues.
Yeah.
But when you do, there's a certain humility and a certain like respect for life when you've gotten through some bad shit. You know, do you feel that?
The way I try to explain it to people is like most people, unless you're really, you know, highly intelligent and enlightened, which is not what I'm saying I am when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I'm just saying some cats just reach death at this point where they're just ready for it and they're ready to cope. You know what I mean? But most of us probably see death, you know, coming at us. And, it, you know, there's I look at it like a roller coaster, like, you know, going on this roller coaster. You told us the scariest roller coaster of all time, and you're waiting to go on it. And probably the whole time you're waiting to go on that motherfucker, it's probably really scary. Then you get on it and you ride it once, and it's probably really scary. But then, you know, if you get off it and get right back in line, you know, the wait in line isn't so scary. And then you get back on the ride again. It's like, that's what I compare death to. It's like, I've gone through all the terror, kind of terrifying parts of death, thinking it was upon me. I was like, you know, woke up in the hospital. Like, you did what to me? There's this. And like, I got this scar on my chest. I'm thinking, it's a wrap. You know what I mean? I vaguely remember, like, people talk about a flash of your life flashing before your eyes, but to me it was more of just the sum realization of, wow, man, that whole 28 years was that long. That's kind of what it was for me. It wasn't like all these moments. It was just like the realization that my life was like a second long in the scheme of things.
Wow.
And so
that's intense.
It's about as intense as it gets,
yeah,
right?
You know, it's crazy.
Open heart surgery is about as intense as it gets.
Yeah, but I figure like this: the next time death's upon me, all the scary parts are kind of, I've been on this roller coaster. What comes after that?
It really is a trip that it's facing everyone, but no one wants to bring it up. It's really the subject.
I can't testify either to any lights at the end of any tunnels, but like I do also remember. Hearing a very familiar voice, like I never really knew any of my grandfathers, but it seemed like a grandfather's type voice,
right?
Would just kind of, you know, it ain't, you know, you ain't ready yet, it's not your time. And
wow,
but I don't, that didn't go along with like a light or a vision or a figure. It was just all I remember is, other than this realization about how short my life was. And my life could have been 90 years, and that realization would have been exactly the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
But then this kind of blackness and this voice being like, "Nah, you ain't time," or something of that nature. Like that's the. I can't even say it was words as much as just something communicating that feeling to me.
It's a real trip to think of the idea that there is a time for you and there is a place for you and there's a thing that you should be doing. A lot of people want to think that that's grandiose to think like that. You know, you're silly. You know, your life
it could have just been like, you know, the deepest parts of my subconscious, like, you know, fighting for their lives.
True,
you know
right?
what I mean? Trying to convince me there's a reason to be alive. You know, there's that part. I mean, I've battled it ever since. Was it, were those spiritual thoughts or was it scientific and your mind fighting to stay alive?
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Is it the ego playing tricks on you?
All that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah.
I don't get in no chamber, but I get in my pool often late at night with the lights off and just lay there with it over my ears in silence for a couple hour or so.
You would dig an isolation tank. You would dig the shit out of it, man. For you, it'd be beautiful because it's a non-drug. You could just go in there and be healthy,
underwater,
and it's great for your body.
Like,
and it's very relaxing. Oh, my God, I bet.
This thing is
I
like
bad. Alone
like
in that
drum,
tank,
dude.
That might be. You might have the trippiest dreams in there ever. Because, well, you know what it is. You know how it works with a little water. You've never done it before,
no,
ever?
No, I've never actually done it.
Man, you should own one. And you should be in it daily. It's a beautiful environment.
What's one of them things going to set me back proper?
7,000?
Yeah?
Yeah, for a real good one. And it'll last forever. It's got a big, thick lining, like the kind they use to make koi ponds. It's all heated. The water, it's beautiful. It's super reliable. It never leaks. You just turn it on when you want to get in there. Boom. Open the door. Hop in. And after you get out, you turn on the pump. It's like the most low maintenance thing. And man, it's what an environment that is, bro.
How often you do it?
All the time.
Like every day?
As much as I can. Sometimes I don't like to do it every day because then reality gets a little slippery.
Is that right?
Yeah. I spend too much time alone in the tank. I find myself getting really weird.
Altered states going on?
I find myself going too fringe with my thoughts. I get so far deep that it's very difficult to go to the supermarket.
Do you not get pruny when you get in it? You don't come out like looking like Mr. Burns or something like that?
No, I think maybe the salt water keeps that from happening.
Weird.
You know, the water is really salty. There's 800 pounds of salt in it. So it's a different thing when you come out. You know, you're not all pruned up. I don't know.
That'd be funny if you were.
Even if you were, you just...
That's one thing you failed to always mention, that every time you get out, you just
look like
a fucking E.T.
man.
Dying.
No. It's one of those things. Whenever I get out of there, I'm like, this is amazing that no one knows about this. They should teach this in school. They should have people in high school getting in isolation tanks and have people talking to them and coaching them through life.
You should make
help
one.
Everybody.
The Joe Rogan isolation tank.
Too much work, man. I got no time for that.
$7,000 a pop, man. It sounds like a lucrative
I don't think
business.
There's that much profit, to be honest with you. It's a lot of it is steel components. You have to get it manufactured and built. There's this super fucking jacuzzi system with this incredible filtration system to make sure that no microbes can get in there and fuck with your skin. And then on top of that, you have to make sure the water stays exactly the same temperature. It's a lot of technology into
you,
it.
You know, so how you could do it is you have to get it like $200 on Amazon, like a portable system that you make out of like a box.
Oh, dude, you wouldn't want that. What if it fucking broke in your living room and fucked up your whole house? Then I'd be responsible. No, you don't want that, man.
George Foreman of isolation tanks.
That's the thing about a tank, man. If you're going to get one, you got to, you know, it's got to be built correctly. Someone's got to go in there and do it. To have a build-it-yourself one seems to me too much room for error.
Yeah, but, you know, people would
My
buy
pool
it.
Pool works pretty good late at night with the lights off, man.
You get on a floaty? Yeah, you get on a floaty?
No, you just, I'm buoyant.
Oh, you can float on your back in a
pretty
pool?
Much, pretty
Holy
much.
Holy shit. That's amazing. That's incredible. I sink like a rock. I can't do that. But if you get in that water tank, the isolation tank, then it's beautiful.
Imagine 800 pounds of salt.
The other thing is that the temperature is perfect. It's the exact temperature as your skin. So when you're in there, you fail to be able to, after a while, you don't differentiate between
Isn't that
the skin
also
and the
exact
air.
Temperature of pee?
Yeah, probably. That's comes out of your body.
Right.
It must be.
You just need a garbage bag and just piss yourself and sit inside of it.
Yeah, I try not to pee in the tank, but, you know, sometimes shit happens.
That might get kind of nasty.
Yeah, you don't want to smell that while you're in there trying to achieve enlightenment, smelling your own piss, going, what the fuck is wrong with me? Sitting there
Look at Joe Rogan.
Sitting there pissing on myself in an isolation tank.
Have you ever seen somebody that had a pool that was so badass, like they had a lazy river around it? Can you imagine how badass would that be if you just had a lazy river around like a huge pool?
Yeah, I knew this dude who had this giant pool, and he had some crazy fucking slide system built into it, like water slides and everything built into the side of his hill.
Yeah, but just like a floaty thing where it just goes around and around. So you could just sit in like a little raft and just go in circles.
Like you're on a Disneyland ride?
Yeah, like those pools where they have like the little lazy river around the whole entire pool.
That would be okay, but I'm telling you, the isolation tank's better.
I want to meet somebody with a moat. A moat?
A moat. That's the next level shit. That's like some Prince of Croatia shit.
You live in Glendale with
a moat.
I know there's no princesses in Croatia. Don't get angry at me, Croatian people. I love you guys. Yeah, man. That's some next level shit, right? That's what, after the next zombie apocalypse. After 2012, people are going to start making moats.
Yeah, that's why I'm moving out to the city. I'm going to have a moat.
Where are you going to try to make this compound? What are you thinking? Know. Northern California is a good move.
Northern California.
Good climate. Not too hot, you know, not too cold.
Too rainy.
Gets you a little, you get a little weather, which keeps you honest.
I think it's San Diego.
Good for people. Little weather's good for people. I think people are delusional in California because they never get hit by weather.
Right.
They have no respect for what nature can do
to
them.
It's coming.
Yeah, it never hits here. You know, when you get here, you get a little bit of rain. Whoop-de-doo. It's like every now and then it rains. Like, people here really have no idea what the fuck weather is like.
Yeah, but we get earthquakes.
Rarely, man. Rarely you get an earthquake.
They're coming.
They're coming.
Yeah, they're definitely coming. We're all going to. And we're all going to be like, why didn't we
move?
Just
because we ain't paid the tab yet doesn't mean there's not a bill, you know?
Indeed. But I think earthquakes, by and large, you know, if you don't get trapped under a giant building that crushes your head. By and large.
See, I'm thinking San Diego would be close to the biggest Air Force base ever, you know. That just seems like it would make sense.
San Diego?
Yeah, be close to the base. You know, we'll be the most protected other than being in Los Angeles where everyone's going to fucking die.
Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Why do you think that earthquakes won't hit, like,
protected
Air Force
from
bases?
What? Earthquakes?
No. If when zombie panic apocalypse. Strikes out or a zombie apocalypse or when the Martians come.
Zombie apocalypse. People actually talk about
People
this.
People worried about this shit, dude. People are worried
know,
about
that's what
the
I'm
fall
saying.
Of civilization.
Like, Danny Boy listens to, like, that what radio
Alex Jones?
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's got that iHeart Radio app, and he's always listening to that late night, overnight stuff, all the craziness. And I was like, this. He was listening to a show that was actually about zombie apocalypse and zombies and people discussing them. And I was like, this is real people talking about this. That's crazy.
It is ridiculous, but could you imagine if it was possible to make a zombie? You know,
it could be. It would probably just be a virus of some kind.
Now we're talking about.
Well, it sounds stupid, but there's way crazier parasites that exist in the world. You know, every single human being is essentially a symbiote. Every person has a conglomeration of all sorts of different organisms living inside their body. And without those, you can't even be alive. And when you get a parasite, like when a parasite fucks up a body, what that is a failed symbiote. It's like it's trying to have a symbiotic relationship with the organism, but it's failing, so it's sucking out too many resources, so it becomes a parasite. It's not contributing to the overall system.
Understood.
It is possible that they could come up with something that would hijack your shit so bad that you would be like one of those 28 days later, motherfucker. That is so 100% okay. Absolutely
so we're
possible.
Not speaking of the dead rising.
No. We're talking about
brains.
Look, 28 days later is a zombie movie.
I didn't listen to the zombie apocalypse show long enough to figure this out. I just was like, these people are actually saying things about zombies right now.
Dude, I'm telling you realistic zombie rules. I'm totally geeking out on zombie rules. The 28 Days Later was not a zombie movie in the thing.
Exactly.
It was a disease or that was created. It was like, what was it called, Rage or something like that? And they gave it to chimps, and the chimps got out and fucked up a whole city with it. That's totally possible.
It is totally possible.
There's a worm that lives inside a grasshopper. It's an aquatic worm, and it grows in its body. And then when it gets to the age where it's about to hatch, it talks the grasshopper into drowning itself. It controls the grasshopper's body, hops the grasshopper over to some water, and leaps into it so
What's
that it
called?
Can pop out. Some aquatic worm.
Some aquatic worm.
It's not,
so
that's
if
not
I
the,
Google
actual,
grasshopper,
if you Google aquatic
worm,
grasshopper,
control,
parasite, yeah.
Parasite.
Isn't that amazing? Tricks it
up.
Into drowning itself.
That's amazing.
And it can pop out of its little body. If that's possible, anything's possible. I know
that's
a lower organism.
Already, they've already extracted it and there's a pill for it.
Yeah, and the guy talking to you is already infected by it.
Yeah, you know. And we all might be.
That's here. What I said about clones.
I found it on Google.
Here, yeah, you here. Found the Google.
Right here it's.
The grasshopper
suicide,
thing?
Grasshopper.
Brainwashed by parasitic worms. Isn't that amazing, man?
Wow.
Get out of here, baby.
Where is that? Because I want to go there and just find some drowned. That's like a fun camping trip.
Well, they're finding out more and more of these parasitic relationships that worms have.
Well,
people.
Millions of organisms are living on us as we speak.
Yeah, there's a lot.
In that beard
fucked.
Of yours right there. This one or mine.
I'm sure.
Little bugs that are actually probably helping out keeping it clean and shit.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, that's
scrubbing
what
bugles,
that's what the
bugles.
Whole deal of Acidophilus is, right? You know,
I'm gonna lie though, man. That, like, you know, that brings in my mind. That brings me straight to bed bugs. Like how that whole outbreak in the East Coast,
in
dude.
East,
I was
yeah,
shook.
New York.
I was like not wanting to go to like to
fuck
any
that.
Hotels. I was like, man, I ain't trying to bring bed bugs home.
I know. Can you imagine that? They get in your clothes and shit. You're fucked.
That's just crazy.
And they multiply in your house. Oh, and you got to get it defumed.
That's why it's easy to believe all that, how quickly. You know, it's like people trip on, oh, the nuclear this, nuclear that. No, it's going to be a little germ that gets all of us, man.
It could be easily. It could be. There's been threats of it for, you know, who knows how long. I mean, every time. One of the things that hits everybody, like when the swine flu came out or the bird flu or anything that comes out, is like, this might be the one we're all scared of. Because we all know that it's possible.
Yeah.
That one super bug that comes along.
Yeah, but they got us convinced of that at least. And yeah. They use every opportunity they can to try whatever new vaccine they got out.
Exactly.
Like, how are we going to sterilize these folks once and for all?
Yeah, what the fuck? There's a lot of vaccines.
The chemtrails aren't working fast enough.
Are you a believer in chemtrails?
I
It's not past them, right?
It's not past. No, that's how I look at it all. I mean, like, I look at it like the cats who, like, you know, if you want to even take the 9/11, there's cats to be like, there's no way we did this. I was like, well, there's proof that the very least we knew something was supposed to happen just like that. Hijacked airplanes. There was reports that they were going to try and do this and nothing was done extra to stop it. That's kind of a passive participation at the very least. So I don't see past anything. All the harp and all this, I love it. I love reading about it and learning about it and giving it just enough consideration to be like, it could be true. I'm not living by it, but I'm watching to be like, okay, if some crazy scenario breaks out in the world where people just can't breathe anymore, there might be something to these stories.
Yeah, you would have to think of why would they be doing it. There's got to be a profit to it. You got to talk somebody into doing it. I think for sure there have been some chemtrail experiments. I don't think that's doubted at all. I think people are well aware there's been some shit. But the real question is, like, how much are they doing on a regular basis? I don't think they're spraying cities.
Like this, I go a lot of places and see them everywhere.
Do you think there's brand people? Do you think like, they're trying to control the population?
When I was young, that was just a jet going by. And right. The smoke didn't stick around all day.
One of my favorite videos online for ridiculousness is Prince sitting down with Dick Gregory, and he's talking about how – I think it's Dick Gregory. He's talking about how there's chemtrails, and they fly over the hood, and then all of a sudden everybody starts fighting. And he goes, and I saw these planes fly over, and I was thinking, God, why is everybody fighting? You know, like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're in the hood. Like, what do you expect? Do you think the planes flying overhead, is there spraying fighting juice down on the people?
It's not the poverty.
It's not the poverty or the rage or the criminal element that's
the drugs,
throughout your community.
Or the police.
Yeah. Yeah. Or all sorts of corrupt shit that's going on, right? No, it's this. There's a plane that's spraying some shit down. And all of a sudden, everybody's getting upset. That's ridiculous. It's a hilarious video.
I think we need to look into those green boxes that you used to have in your backyard that hummed, that were really warm. Because I used to, like, as a kid, lay on those things for probably years, you know. And just,
what are
I
those
think
things?
I don't even know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, in the Midwest, or I guess in the suburbs, not in Los Angeles, they used to have these green boxes that were, like, energy plants or something like that. I don't know what they were. They're just like these, and they hummed. They went, and they were super warm. And I remember just sitting out there as a kid for hours, like on it, like I was recharging. And I probably got, more data bytes or something. I don't know what it's just. What is that?
You've
thing?
Done so many things when you were little that could have made you.
I know. What is that?
A
thing,
moron.
Though? I think everyone did that. Though.
I don't know what you're talking about. First of all,
yeah, I'll show you a picture
I'm
of one.
Familiar.
Yeah. Wow. An energy source?
It's like a weird
box. He lived in like some test community at their own nuclear power plants in their backyard.
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio is the number one
cancer cluster.
Nuclear reactors.
It was a test market town, so like we had like you know, banana Frosties before everyone.
You were a test market town?
Yes, Columbus, Ohio. They would test us out like burgers, and like I would talk to my friends, that my cousins that live in a different state, and they're like, we don't have that kind of weird burger at McDonald's. What are you talking about? And I found out that the company's test market at Columbus, Ohio, because that's the most average city in the whole entire
country.
You know, country. Wow. Yeah.
That makes sense. Columbus is like that.
Yeah.
They're like the whitest people
on
Earth. It's
kind of almost pretty close to the middle, too, isn't it?
Columbus, sure, yeah.
Did you ever hear about Sister's Chicken? Did you guys ever have – that was Wendy's version of KFC that they were trying out, and it was just three old ladies was the logo, and it was like KFC's, like, Wicked Sisters. And
ooh.
I don't think it worked, though. It like, lasted, like, 2 years or something.
Never wow. heard of it. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'll show you the green box, though.
The green box.
The green box that fucked you up. Another thing that happened to him, he was living in an apartment, and there's a duct overhead, like a heating duct, where the hot air would come through. Turns out that wasn't what that was. Somebody had hooked up the wrong thing to the gas furnace, and it was blowing straight carbon dioxide from the gas furnace.
No.
Yes. Yeah, he lived like that for a year.
Okay, here's
how'd you not blow up?
He's dead.
No, exactly.
He's dead on the inside.
I died a long time ago. here's the green box.
And it makes him stutter now.
Green box.
These things.
I've seen similar things, but like on the corners of intersections.
Yeah, we had one in our backyard, and I would just sit there and get data bytes pumped into me as a child.
That's
well, obviously, that has something to do with electricity.
Right.
That has something to do with electricity. Yeah, that's not good.
But we didn't have the warning labels. Like, this one has a nice warning label. Don't, like, it says something on it. Like, hey, don't even get close to this.
Hey, don't put your nuts on this.
Have they ever made a connection, a correlation between living near power, like those big giant towers? You know, those electrical towers with the
cancer clusters.
Yeah.
That's what they, you know, they
have made a correlation.
I mean, you could, it's one of them things where you can find both sides that will have equally compelling arguments that they're right.
Yeah.
So that means no, there has been no definitive. But I mean, it kind of breaks down to kind of common sense a little bit. If you're camped under these things that are like,
Jesus Christ, you scared me just thinking about that.
With power lines, I mean,
there's so much fucking power going through there. How is that?
Have you noticed though, most schools or public parks are kind of right under those.
Yeah, that's the only free spot that was available.
Yeah, like, oh, that's cheap land.
Yeah,
there it is. That's where we'll put the school.
Yeah, man. When you drive by those things and you can hear them, you roll down your window.
How about the heavy duty ones? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The big iron towers with
terrifying
cables like this.
Oh my God,
dude! I saw a show about that once, man. Where the guys are on helicopters, they have to do the maintenance for those
lines. Oh my God!
They actually have to make a connection to the line, like, with the helicopter to ground it before they can start working with it. Apparently, it's like one of the most dangerous jobs you could have. That might have been the show I was watching, like, Life's Most Dangerous Jobs. Those dudes are nuts, man.
Motherfucker.
They're, like, in metal suits.
Oh, Jesus.
It's nuts, man.
Just think of what that must be. You must be feeling when you're above one of those things, and you know that just touching it, just reaching out and touching it, you just essentially explode.
They're grabbing it, man. Oh,
my God.
They're doing maintenance on it.
They're fixing it.
Yeah, they're putting the connectors that keep them together. They're fixing them.
Oh, you have to trust it. You have to trust in the science.
They have another piece of the helicopter that they have to come out, and it has to touch the wire while they're working on it.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, one of the most common things isn't getting electrocuted. It's that the tail of the helicopter hits the wire, and they just go...
Oh, my God.
Into oblivion.
Oh, of course. If they get hit with a gust, right? It's almost impossible for them to stop.
It's apparently like one of the craziest, most dangerous jobs.
If you had to do that kind of maintenance.
I was really high watching that. I was just like, that's crazy, man. I think I was on the back of the tour bus, just like 18-hour drive, just watching whatever was on. But I stumbled across that. I was like, oh, I'm
watching this. Here's the helicopter thing right here, actually.
Well, that's you singing. What are you doing?
Before I got on the helicopter.
Brian, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, this might have been the show.
Yeah, that was me before getting on.
Yeah, watch this, dog. These guys are nuts, man. They're in like these crazy suits. One guy's got to touch the wire.
Oh my!
See what I'm saying? Look
God,
at that.
This is insane. Oh my God, he has to climb up. He climbs up, and he's sitting in a harness on top of the fucking wires. Brian, why'd you mix this together? Brian made this video himself.
Yeah, this is an old music video. I mixed with that stuff in it though.
Oh, my God, but look at that guy walking on those wires. That is absolutely horrifying.
That's crazy, man.
And I got Olive Garden breadsticks
right
there.
Half a million volts? Isn't that what that is?
Is that what it is? How much will kill you? How much does it take?
A lot less than that.
A lot less than that. That's like, that would incinerate you, right? Wouldn't you just explode or something?
Yeah, but he's grounded somehow. Like, he's, like, grounded on, like, I watched the whole thing high, man. It was amazing.
That's fucking
And they were charged. Terrible. Like, those dudes were on some, they're on some, like, adrenaline junkie shit.
Man. Oh, they must be.
And they're like, this is the greatest job.
Well, could you imagine if it was doing something to them? What if it was, like, making them superpower? They started, like, winning the Olympics
That's how
shit.
The whole X-Men thing starts. The whole, it might have been me.
Was that really? No, that had to be you, Brian, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was pretty loud.
It was so loud.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you right now. It wasn't me.
It's not me. My shit's not even on.
All right. Well, I'm just glad I'm not the guy who did it.
Yeah. Anyway, where were we?
We were talking about how that's where the mutations start. Where the X-Men begin is on them lines right there.
When one time when I used to do Fear Factor, I would eat like pot candies or something before the show,
right,
just to kind of keep me like. In a chill but happy and fun mood all day. Sometimes you're sitting around all day and it's boring. And if you don't got a buzz, it doesn't feel as good. It's not as interesting. But one of the days I showed up, every now and then when something would freak me out, I would show up at work and I'd be a little baked and they'd tell me what we're going to do. And one of the things they told me is we're going to have these people ride bulls. And I was like, oh, this is a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Like when you're high and they're telling you you're going to ride a bull, you're like, oh, no, sir. No, no, I'm not getting on that thing. What is this? We're going to do what? You're going to make people do that? You're going to get them to get on that animal? That's fucking crazy. The only time when we ever did that show where I felt like we were totally rolling the dice, hoping nobody got hurt, that was the only time, was when we made them ride bulls. Because, like, you can't protect them from that
tough.
Fucking animal. You can only, you can only say so much. We're going to try. We're going to try to keep it from stomping you. But we can't guarantee it. We'll give you a chest plate and a helmet, but you're going to let it – imagine you letting a bull
Sign
gore you
first.
Yeah, with a chest plate and a helmet. Go. Come get me. I got a chest plate and a helmet on. Oh, my God. You'd feel so fragile.
Hell, yeah.
We got lucky with that one. One girl, she was 98 pounds something maybe. She was on this bull, and she agreed to do it. I'm like, you're sure? And she goes, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. She got on the fucking bull. She lasted for just a couple of seconds, of course, right? The bull launches her through the air. She goes flying and just barely misses her with a kick. Just barely misses her. And I just would think about, like, what a ridiculous thing. We could have got this little girl kicked in the head for some stupid reality show, you know? And she like,
how much bread was it at the end of the
50
show?
Grand if you 50 want. Grand. Before she tax. Falls down. She was okay.
Isn't it funny though, dude? Like, not to be little money, but yeah. Isn't it funny what people will do for so little money?
Well, they do it for fun too. A lot of them, they do it just, you know, there's people that do it and they think that they're going to be able to eventually get some sort of a career in reality.
That's even
TV.
More funny to me. Like,
well, you know, people have done it.
Even though it's actually turned, you
know,
into that.
I know. It is weird, but you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as they're nice people, I don't give a fuck, you know? You could start weirding out about what people watch and don't watch, and I've gone down that road before. Like, what the fuck is wrong with us? Why are we watching the Kardashians? But, you know, the other part of me is like, who gives a fuck?
Well, they're hoping she's going to suck another dick soon.
No, she's done, man. The only way she would suck another dick is, like, she would have to, like, drop drastically in the ratings to make another sex tape. It would be really hard to get her to put one out now.
But, you know, it's like a NASCAR race. They're not waiting for the end. They're waiting for the crash. You know,
here's
what
I mean? My prediction. The next sex tape won't be her getting fucked. It'd be a dude eating her pussy for like a half an hour. That's it. That's a sex tape. And then she releases that one. Whoopsies. That got out. And that would kick her back up to the next level. If she was like crying at a press conference, I can't believe this. This was so personal. I used that image to masturbate to when I'm on the road. My assistant stole it from my laptop. You know, that could be her next level shit. She might have to do that in about 2 years, because like now people are like making like Kardashian jokes are probably like the number one joke on Twitter. You know, if you're gonna make a joke about the Kardashians, you know, I mean, it's like it's so low hanging fruit. It's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that movie Young Adult last night. The Patton Oswalt. Throughout the whole movie, you know what it's about?
No, I haven't.
Charlize Theron and Patton Oswalt. It's fucking really funny.
Yeah, I've
and
seen
really
the previews.
Brilliant, like a brilliant movie. But one of the things is the chick who's the crazy chick, Charlize Theron. All she watches is Kim Kardashian. She just watches it. Every time you're seeing her at home, she's just like sitting in front of the TV watching Kim Kardashian and her sister talk with like this mindless glaze in her eye.
That's hilarious.
And you're like, holy fuck, that is America, man. You know, those people are responsible for that fucking signal that they're putting out there, man. They are turning, if anybody's turning people into zombies.
Yeah.
But this whole movie, throughout the whole movie, this crazy bitch, Charlize Theron, is obsessed with her high school boyfriend, is just watching the Kardashians on TV. It's a good movie, man. It's a really, like, the ending's kind of weird. But,
is it, like, in the movie theaters movie? Or
yes,
is it,
yeah. Yeah, I saw it last night. It's a good movie. It's fucking, Patton Oswalt's a bad motherfucker.
He's funny, man.
He's going to do the podcast again soon.
Has he even done it?
No. Did I say again soon?
Yeah.
Oops. Do it soon.
We need to get him on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie that he did with, Galifianakis and the guy with the glasses. The comedians of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those dudes.
Our buddy filmed that.
Yeah.
That whole thing, man, is hilarious, man.
Yeah, those guys are awesome. There's a bunch of real good stand-ups right now. It's a good time for stand-up comedy.
They're all starting to break through, too, like in other, like, of course, Zach. And
yeah.
I see Patton Oswalt everywhere lately.
Zach Galifianakis is one of those guys that I can't help smile when I'm watching him.
Yeah.
He's like one of those guys where I see him doing something stupid in the movie. You know, even that, what was it, Due Date or something like that?
Yeah.
Wasn't the best movie in the world, but I'm watching him, and he makes me smile. He's just so ridiculous, you know?
Brody stole the whole movie.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I love the little Brody hiding, like, out of nowhere. You'll find our friend Brody Stevens. He's friends with Zach, so every time Zach does a movie or does anything, Zach throws him in as, like, these little roles and stuff. And every role, it's almost playing, like Where's Waldo for Brody Stevens. Like, oh, there he is. He's a police guy. Whoops.
Why do you have a Google page?
I forgot to switch it back to my camera.
You're sorry. Tripping me the fuck out, dude. I'm like, what's your point, man?
No.
This whole thing is starting to trip me out. The cartoons over here. And
it's very distracting.
There's a TV over here where my face, like, I'll turn and my face will be on it. It'll startle me, and then I'll look back, and it'll be like some other thing. And
some goatsy image. Yeah, this is the next level of ADD-type shit for people. Just a conversation alone is just – it's too boring, man.
You gotta
it's
have, like, 18 screens going, dude. He was showing me earlier he was just watching random strangers play video games.
Yeah, on
live.
Oh,
yeah, he does that. He'll go and watch video games as if
it's – he showed me the homepage, and it was like – I was like, that's the fucking Matrix. Look at it, dude.
Yeah, it's like, what game do you want to spy on? You know, women's tennis?
Look at – all those people are in the fucking computer right now, yeah. And they're all playing games.
It's pretty nuts,
and
right?
Most of them are trying to kill each other.
Exactly.
Yeah, isn't that nuts? And you know, this is only – step one, what's it going to look like 100 years from now?
Oh, it's going to be drone warfare, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
What was your go-to video game back in the day when you played a lot of games?
The last one, I was kind of a SOCOM freak.
SOCOM,
Because I like seeing the guy, like the character. I don't like the where you all you see is the hands and the gun. I like seeing the little guy running around. I don't want to feel like I'm actually killing people. I want to know there's a game going on.
Right. Have you played Gears of War? That's kind of like that.
I think one of the first versions I might have played. Yeah. I when I got married and had a kid, man, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
Like the video games, are
can't justify video games.
It's hard.
And the video games to me is I'm always terrified that I'm going to become addicted to them. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified. They're too good, man. Video games these days.
I think by the time I'm an old man and retire, I could just sit around and it should be crazy by then. It'd be like three-dimensional surround sound.
You're going to pierce your own brain. You're going to have to pierce your own temple with something that's going to...
What was that crazy Christopher Walken movie with the brain stuff with Natalie Wood?
Oh, shit. What was that movie? Yeah.
Dreamscape. Dreamscape.
Yeah. Wow. Do you know that there's new questions about Natalie Wood and her husband?
Yeah, a month or so ago.
Yeah, yeah, man. Just recently.
Robert Wagner whacked her, dude.
Well, that's what this guy's saying.
But they saw him on the on Today Show, I think he was on.
He was also selling a book, you know that, right?
Yeah, he was selling a book in which he said that Robert Wagner killed her. He said he heard a bunch of fighting, he heard like violence, and then he heard silence.
What's that guy's name again? Do you know the guy that...
The guy who's writing the book?
Robert Wagner, I'm sorry.
Robert Wagner, yeah. Robert Wagner and Natalie Wood.
I got to find you
heart
this...
Heart to heart.
I got to find you this video. It's going to trip you out.
Why?
This guy asks this question to the guy that's selling the book. He asked the same question like 7 times in a row. And it got to the point where it was like a joke, like a Saturday Night Live skit. He's like, okay, last time, same question. And he kept on doing
it. So the guy wouldn't answer the question?
I'll show it to you. Hold on.
Okay.
This is gonna be
that sounds crazy.
I think I might have seen this too. Yeah.
Does he sound like a crazy person?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I need to hear that.
Yes.
You always need to hear that. Whenever someone's accusing somebody of killing somebody.
While he's doing that real quick, in one of your stand-up specials, dude, you talk about that video about the horse that...
Yes, dude, Mr. Hands.
Did you ever see the documentary they made?
Zoo. Yeah.
I amazing. Saw that like not too long ago. I was like, that's Joe's joke. That's what Joe's joke was about. I had to watch
changed
the whole freaking
the law.
Thing.
They changed the law because of that dude.
Which is crazy, dog. Yeah. It was just like... Seeing these people like being interviewed and speaking about their little zoophilia or whatever they call it.
Yeah. It was sort of a documentary. It was sort of like a performance documentary where they had actors play roles.
Oh,
so
was
it? Was, yeah, because the guy's dead, you know, and he was in through a lot of it. Like, I think it was a real sneaky way they did that documentary. But what it did was it forced them to change the law there. People were moving there so they could fuck animals legally. That's what these people did. They met online. They met in a chat room. They said, I like fucking animals. I'm just going to put that out there. And then everybody's like, damn, I like animals fucking me. Let's do this. Let's move in together. And they moved in together. And they got, like, you know, an area where they all lived. And they would go to a farm and film. They had hundreds of hours of guys getting fucked by donkeys, horses.
That shit was crazy, man.
Insane, man.
Here's the video right here.
It just lets you know, man, that there's always going to be someone who's taking it deeper.
I can't answer that question right now. And why not? You're referring to mistakes you made. Have you changed your story from when you spoke to investigators years ago?
I did lie on a report years ago.
And what did you lie about then?
It was just I made mistakes by not telling the honest truth. In a police report.
Well, just be specific. I mean, we've talked about the broad outlines of the story. What is it that you were untruthful about?
Just everything that took place that weekend.
Was the fight between Natalie Wood and her husband, Robert Wagner, what ultimately led to her death?
Yes.
How so?
I tell you that, you won't buy my book.
Like I said, that's going to be up to the investigators to decide.
The point you're making is that it's because of information in the book, information that you're bringing to them, that they would be reopening this investigation. Is it your charge that, in fact, Robert Wagner essentially tried to make this a low-profile investigation, did not do everything he could to try to find her once she went missing after their argument?
Yes, it was to be kept a low-profile investigation.
So you're saying that Wagner did not do everything he should have done to look for her after she went missing?
Exactly.
Was he responsible for her death in some way?
Well, like I said, I think we all made mistakes that night. And
Mr. Davin, that wasn't my question. Was he responsible for her death? I'm not asking about your story.
Yes, I would say so, yes.
How so?
I really don't want to get involved in
answering
that
question. Well, how can you come on national television, sir, and accuse him of something like that but not back it up?
Well, that's up to the investigators.
That's actually not the video I was talking about, but that's still pretty interesting.
Well, yeah, he sounds like there's definitely something missing. Something's ticking when it should be talking and talking when it should be ticking, right? He's off.
He's trying to sell his book. I mean, I'm not saying.
Yeah, that's all he's doing, right?
He ain't nothing being speculated about that wasn't speculated about the day she went drowned.
Yeah, exactly. Well, didn't William Shatner's wife, like, turn up drowned, too?
That was in his pool.
Oh, shit.
Wasn't that in his backyard?
How to drown somebody in a pool. Yeah, what happened?
I have nothing to William Shatner. I think he was out of town.
That's a good move.
So he did it right.
We're not insinuating any, whatever. Yeah, that guy, I'm
You're
not buying that.
You're a comedian, and you have to
sometimes
explain
do.
That to people.
Yeah, you do. This is a sad world
That's,
we live in.
Wow.
Remember when you could say retard without any repercussions?
What's funny is, like, you know Colin Quinn?
Sure.
Like, I think he's a pretty funny dude.
It's hilarious.
Sometimes he says some real outrageous shit, right? And he gets under people's feathers, but, like, he'll say something about, like, when Kim Jong-il died or something, and, like, I love him because he just retweets every stupid, hateful thing that gets sent to him. But it's like these people are like really saying, like, how could you say something like that? It's like, don't you realize you're following a comedian?
Yeah. And
you
know they follow
and like
one
a real
smartass,
like sarcastic one at that.
Yeah.
I was like, it just blows my mind how literal people are. Like,
yeah. Well, you know, one of the things was catching news was that he was accusing Will Ferrell of stealing the movie Anchorman from him and talking about the really bad bag drugs that Will was doing. I mean, it's just so reads like a goddamn Colin Quinn punchline. The really bad drugs that he was doing, you know, and people bought into it, man. It was becoming news. Like, you dummies, you silly fucks. We live in a more and more literal world.
He goes on marathons to see how many people can drop him or something. Like, his number will fluctuate. I look at his number as much as his tweets just because it's funny. Like, who'd he piss off today?
Yeah, Colin Quinn is underappreciated genius. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever seen.
I think it's funny when, like, people listen to comedians and then a comedian actually has to say once in a while, like, yo, these are jokes. We're not serious.
Well, Colin's style of smart-assy, really smart comedy, it's so unusual, man. I hardly ever get the sense. It's hard for us to see each other unless we're like, you know, if I just happen to be in a town where someone's doing a set, I'll stop in and watch them do a full set, or if I catch like a special. But other than that, you know, I'm in one town, they're in another. It's hard to see them. So I did a Tough Crowd once, and it was like one of the first times I got to see Colin do like a long set, and he did it in front of all of his fans, you know, because they're all. So he would like warm up the crowd. God damn, he was good. Was really good. Like, it's like when you see him like tight, like Colin Quinn's a bad motherfucker. He doesn't get nearly enough respect. You know, it's people that he's so self-deprecating that people just, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I mean, he's too smart. It's whatever it is. It's his frequency's it's too good for some people
to
figure out.
The world's getting a little too dumb is
what it is. Is
is
it really that bad? I mean, isn't there a way to snap us out of this, man?
That's another thing about one of the things you did a couple years ago. I don't know if it was the same special, but it was about when all the smart people die. It's like, yo, that day's coming, man.
It's possible.
It's coming.
It is possible, and that's what
I thought. Mike
Judge
might have ripped you off a little bit with that Idiocracy movie.
Maybe, but I don't think I'm the only one that's ever had that thought. I think other people have been thinking that people are getting stupider and stupider.
I'm just saying a little bit. Yeah, I've ripped off a lot of chords from a lot of songs, man. It's not always.
Listen, I met Mike Judge. He didn't seem guilty when I met him. So
no.
he probably didn't write it anyway.
I love him. I love that movie. I'm just saying, this seems like something. This seems kind of like that premise.
Yeah, I should have got that special out earlier. I actually, the special was out before Idiocracy.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying.
The special was out in 2005. Idiocracy was 2006. But I had been redoing that bit for a couple of years. That bit came from one mushroom trip. One mushroom trip where I just sat and looked at the whole progression of the human race, and that it was some sort of a crazy fight between overpopulation of stupid people and like packets of really intelligent people figuring out matter itself to the point of, you know, total complete complexity where they blow up the whole universe and we restart all over again. But that all came from a mushroom trip. And I started thinking about like how ridiculous it was that I put all my faith, my food, the warmth and the cold of my family, all in the hands of things that I totally don't understand. I just hit switches. Yeah. I haven't researched them. I don't know what the fuck powers them. I have no idea the science behind it. I don't know. I'm just open the refrigerator, take some milk, pour a glass. I don't know how the fuck this milk has been able to sit in my refrigerator for a week and not turn into rotten cheese. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But it's been pulverized through some crazy machine that I'll never be able to understand. Gotten to the point where all the bacteria is broken down so you can store it in your refrigerator that you don't understand. Some box that keeps shit cold. And that's the only way we can all live like this. Yeah. The only way we can all live like this and nobody understands it. And then I just had that, you know, then the bit just sort of wrote itself.
So, I tell everybody. Everybody's like, you know, gets on these tangents about nuclear bombs and even viruses, which is perfectly logical. But I'm saying all it really would take would be let the lights go out for a week. And let's see where we are as a civilization when everything stops working.
Yeah, well, it's not good, man. You know, a person's real, true character comes out in a situation where everything gets tested. And a lot of people never get tested. They just never get tested through their life. They coast through with a boring but easy job, and they go to sleep, and they get up, and they do it all over again, and then the shit never hits the fan. And if shit does hit the fan...
What happens when you need to know how to shoot a deer? Exactly. Okay, you shot the deer.
Right.
What do you do now?
Can you find it now? How far did it run? You follow blood trails?
And once, okay, you shot it, you found it, it's dead.
Okay, even then.
Now what?
Right, yeah, gut it, what? Quarter it. How do you keep the meat good? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Meat's only good for a few hours, man. What are you going to do?
Unless you get it cut up, right?
Yeah, you got to cut it up, get it in the refrigerator.
Cleaned.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts, man. The process is so simple now. We go to a supermarket. It's like we've accelerated everything to the point where it's ridiculous. You can get meat like that. Mm. You know, you could, who would have ever thought that you could just step out into the street, walk a block, and get a fucking fat, thick, juicy ribeye steak, perfectly cut, like perfectly aged, right, ready to go. You do no preparation whatsoever. Just say, I'll take that. Boom. You take it home. There's fire. Boom. And you're cooking it in like seconds.
And if you're really impatient, there's nuclear like technology right there in your kitchen ready to cook your food.
Yeah, you can microwave the fuck out of it and just eat it then, right? It's amazing. It's amazing what we've come to in such a short period of human history. You know,
it's alien technology, man.
Do you think so?
Trust me, I got it in my body, man. I'm part alien now.
Do you believe in aliens for reals?
Again, one of those things that I put up to the, it's like, I can't not believe in aliens.
Right.
I can't sit here and tell you, I know there's aliens and I've seen them. But it's like, all right, every one of those lights up there is a sun. Odds are there's got to be, you know, another branch of intelligence.
It just seems ridiculous to think that there wouldn't be. It seems like we've already figured out that things are recreated all over the galaxies, like gas giants, rocky planets, planets in the Goldilocks zone, planets with water, planets without water. Like, we can apparently read their atmosphere somehow or another. They can figure that shit out. I don't know how. But they can figure out, like, what temperature a planet is thousands of light years away. It's a strange, strange thing. I don't know how the fuck they do it. But they found a lot of planets like this. Right. A lot. So there's got to be some other shit. There's got to be some other shit. You know, it's 100%.
I mean, and then, you know, you get into the whole interdimensional speaking of, you know, how, you know, what if we're dealing with dimensional aspects, you know? So it's, your brain could blow up. You know, you got to be high to think about some of this stuff.
You know, it's funny, but all we do by ridiculing any of that shit is just, we're just trying to control reality to even the ridiculous part that we understand as is. The ridiculous part of us being a part of a galaxy, and that galaxy a part of the universe, this universe being one part of one universe, and there's an infinite amount of universes, like just all these nutty, that we know to be true, like wrapping our heads around infinity and the ideas. We know that to be true. We don't want to go any further than that. You start introducing new shit, you start introducing aliens, I got no room for your crazy alien talk. It's like, there's almost like, the reality that we're absorbing as it is so baffling and so fucking crazy that we're like almost unwilling to look at anything that's more confusing.
Not to mention that, you know, then the powers that be have also mixed this magical thing called religion into the whole thing. So if a ship full of aliens actually came and landed in full view of everybody, that fucks up a lot of people's like belief systems.
Yeah, it's over.
It really does. You know what I mean?
It would be interesting, like, who would like jockey first to try to like get cool with the aliens, like the Catholic Church and the aliens have made peace. Yeah. And you know,
next thing you know, it's Jesus was an alien. Yeah, he was the first and true and only alien. You know what I mean? It becomes this whole war of like
they drop off a new gospel.
Yeah, they're bringing us a new gospel.
It's a floating and USB card. It says
all the other religions are to be wiped out.
That would be so easy, man. Could you imagine if you were from another planet and you had some super dope technology and you want to come out and you knew the history of the religions? Okay, what's the number one religion most popular? Is it Christianity, Islam? It's one of those. Okay, well, this is what we do. Then we're going to come down with one guy that has both of those religions in his history, and he's going to do some fucking magic, and he's going to take over the planet.
There you go.
That's all you would have to do.
Not even magic to them. Levitating, that's natural. They can do that.
Can you imagine just landing a helicopter 1,000 years ago, just going back and landing a fucking helicopter and seeing people freak out and run for cover? You know, just what kind of a world are we going to be living in just another decade, just another 20 years, just another 50
years?
Dude,
1,000 years, you could have just broke out a flashlight and got that effect.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no shit. But the fire's contained. Piss magic. Yeah, everybody had fire. That's what they had for until
that was cutting-edge technology right there, right? Man. A fire and a knife? Yeah. You were good. You were caught up with the Joneses.
Right, because electricity is only like a couple hundred years old, right? When was electricity? Was
it late 1800s?
Yeah, Tesla, right? That was the beginning
on
of the
mass
19th.
Level. Maybe not even until the early 1900s.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. They were using fire to keep things lit.
If you wasn't
candles
like
and shit
in the city,
kites probably to charge their phones.
That really makes like Leonardo da Vinci, like some of his shit, even more impressive that he did that shit by candlelight. You know, think about the Sistine Chapel. Think of doing that shit with candles. You know? God damn. Motherfucker had fire. He was lit by fire. Yeah. And he was still motivated enough to do that.
On his back. However many years.
Jesus Christ. How long did that take?
I don't know. It had to take a couple years.
That's one of the great artworks of humankind.
Not longer. I'm sure I'm underestimating.
Can you imagine with all the other dudes who were like trying to be artists back in the days of Leonardo da Vinci? Guys were like, thought they were pretty badass, you know. Just, you know, I'm working on some pretty cool pieces. Pretty proud of it, you know. I think I'm kind of the shit. And you, oh yeah, you knew that Leonardo da Vinci dude? Yeah, he's been painting the ceiling for 3 years on his back. This shit's brilliant.
And inventing the helicopter in his spare time.
Yeah, and figuring out how to make a fucking biplane.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Dude,
that dude was on speed or something.
Insane.
Man.
He's an amazing dude, man. You talking about like some super dude, you know? What an amazing mind that guy had. Wish there was film of that guy. You know, he's one of those guys you wish, like, man, we really missed out on getting some recordings of that guy talking.
Get him a podcast.
He must have been a super genius. I mean, he must have been some insane, through-the-roof IQ type character. And it seemed like he would, like, just sketch all these, like, insane machines out and figure things out. And then perfect anatomy. I mean, you know, just what an amazing, amazing mind that guy must have had.
Do you ever draw or do any kind of art?
I mean, a little bit. I came into music, actually. I was a graffiti writer, like with a bunch of cats, and some of them started making some music for fun, and I kind of followed suit, and it just became, you know, something that, you know, that somebody within that group knew Ice-T, and that's how that whole thing took off. Ice-T signed me, but I don't make as much art.
Cool to get signed by Ice-T.
Yeah, when I was 17.
Oh, you know? Damn.
You must have been like, holy shit, I just got signed by Ice-T.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was before, like, it wasn't like about, you know, there were no super duper 100 million record selling people in rap. It was like, you know, the biggest people were like Run DMC at that time. And
wow.
You know, not the Public Enemy and a few, you know, stuff like that. It was just starting to crack. And then I was just doing it for fun, and dude asked me if I wanted to make a record for him, and I said, sure, yeah, why not? And I made a record for him, and next thing was House of Pain and whatnot. But to answer the question, I collect a lot of art. I don't really
You do collect art?
Yeah, I'm a avid like graffiti based and street art based collector of art.
Yeah, I love that. There's a website for, I think it's ESTY. I think is what it is, something like that. But it's a for artists, and a lot of our listeners who are artists will sell like posters on this website. And lately, I've been just buying up so much like posters, like original prints, because it's like 1 out of 20. We're only printing out 20 pieces of this, and so for $15, I'll have one of those 15 or one of those 20. And now I'm just out of nowhere started collecting art because of this one website. It's amazing website. Yes, T Y. Yeah, I believe
it's fun. I started out like, I don't know, 10 years or so, maybe more ago, maybe about 15 years ago, collecting all these toys out of Hong Kong. That these graffiti writers from America were going, like, all these Asian cats were big fans of the whole graffiti scene. And they would hire these cats to make toys for, like, companies like Bounty Hunter and Medicom and all these. So I collected all these toys. And then I ran into a homie that was, like, the editor of a art magazine called Juxtapose. And he was like, yo, this is cool you collect these toys. But he's like, you should be actually collecting, you know, paintings and art. And I was like, okay. And next thing I knew, I was like, you know, I'm like an obsessive. I have like 1,000 pairs of sneakers. I like have. Oh, really?
Holy shit.
What's your brand?
Most of them aren't even open. Most of them, like.
What? Really?
Yeah. I got like 200 pairs of sneakers probably that I just rotate.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That I'd wear. And then there's probably like 600-800 pairs of sneakers like in boxes. Like I had a whole thing at the Grammy Museum. They had a hip-hop exhibit with like all my sneakers. Like, not, wow. Like what is my it? Top 50 sneakers I
what
sent
is
over
it
there.
About sneakers?
Well, what I'm explaining is like I go, well, for a cat like me in rap, like this, like, there's a whole like, I'm what I call a B-boy. I consider myself a B-boy, right? Which is like, you know, in the truest sense of the word is a break boy, a cat that break dances. But it became like the title if you're a hip-hop like connoisseur, like that I consider myself to be, and,
right,
you know, I mean, I'm just, that's how I live, a b-boy, like, you know, like a Hesher would be a rock dude, a b-boy is to hip-hop, if
right,
it was a, if it was an SAT question, that's how it would be. Hesher is to rock, like, as b-boy is to
third base, they would be b-boys.
Sure. Yeah,
base.
Yeah, definitely. But collecting sneakers is kind of part of that sneaker.
It's part of the culture.
Sneakers. I could be in some dirty clothes if I had a new piece of jewelry and some new sneakers on. You can't tell me nothing.
You know what I mean? Do you have a favorite brand? Are you like a Puma guy?
I'm pretty much a Nike snob. Nike. You know, like old school Air Force Ones and Jordans and stuff like that. But
did you get the Voltrons?
I haven't. I stopped collecting a couple years ago. I still buy sneakers, but I force myself to wear them all. Like I used to buy compulsively, just be like, I don't even know if I like those, but put them over there.
So do you have like a closet that's specially designed for sneakers?
The bedroom that, no, it's not designed. It just looks like a back room storage spot of a Foot Locker. It's kind of crazy.
Really?
Yeah. It's retarded.
Like people, you just have boxes going, all over your house?
I won't even show it anymore because it's shameful.
Oh,
it's like,
man.
Shameful.
That's incredible.
It's shameful. But the point I even brought it up, the reason I even brought it up, though, is that I'm compulsive like that. After I was doing the sneakers and I collected these toys. And then when I stopped doing both of those, I kind of sank all that energy into collecting like paintings. I have like paintings now I have a couple different houses. I have paintings like just that. There's too many to even hang on walls. They're like in stacks, just laying leaning up against walls.
Wow!
You should give tours, man. I bet you have some amazing shit.
Yeah, no, tours.
Or do a little video blog for your website.
There's a lot of cats that are blowing up really big right now that I've had for a long time. Cause and Shepherd Fairey, I was collecting before he was, you know, but like Banksy, you know, all, you know, all
you got some Banksy,
Jose Parla, and yeah. Just, and all kinds of this. I'm big on a cat named Crayola, Greg Simpkins. It's a big time paint. You know what I mean? It's all
so awesome,
everything at Futura, all cats like that. But everything's based around graffiti or street art, like cats that actually started like in the streets putting their art up. You know?
That's awesome.
I went to this dude's house once. He had a house in the Hollywood Hills, and he had a whole wall of his house. Like, he had a crazy house on a glass wall that faced the city, you know, the whole deal. And a whole like long wall of his house was a gallery. It was set up like for rotating pieces of art, and he would, you know, literally like harbor some of the best artists in the world and buy their shit and rotate new stuff from there to his, like, he had warehouses where he would store the pieces that he wasn't showing.
I'm getting to the point where I have to find like a professional place soon to store a lot of my art.
Yeah, this dude had his house set up like a museum. I mean, he would he's incredibly, incredibly rich.
The house I was telling you about up here in the hills, it's before I had a kid and got married, that's all it was. The downstairs of the house had no furniture. It was just paintings all around.
Let me ask you something about living in the hills, because I've had friends that were robbed up there. I've had a couple of friends that have encountered
up here?
Up in the Hollywood Hills.
That's why you need moats.
Hollywood Hills.
Oh, you're talking about up here.
Yeah.
But the Hollywood Hills is what I was talking about. Like, I've heard a lot of people getting, like, home invasions and shit in the Hollywood Hills.
I'm sure, man. You get caught slipping. I mean, I used to live in Mount Olympus, actually, which is right up there in Laurel Canyon. And I lived up there for many years and never had a problem. But I'm that dude that when he's driving home from the store, like, has the gun in his lap. And I make two extra turns. I'm that dude.
That's awesome.
It's not because I'm on this thing that everybody's out to get me, but it's like I'm not going to be the guy to get got because I was stupid.
Right.
And I so just have been trained like that. But I owe that to, like, actually a lot of the, like, Cypress homies and them cats when we was all coming up together, because they kind of came. I came from suburbia, you know what I mean? Not rich suburbia, you know, lower class, lower middle class, but middle class nonetheless. And these cats came from, you know, like, I was with Ice and all them. Like, I ran with the Syndicate for a while, but I never was, like, dipped into, like, he was already a grown man into the entertainment business. His gangster and all that days were right behind him. Cypress guys were fresh off the street. You know what I mean? Like, when they first made that first record. So I learned a lot from them about, like, how to roll, like, places. And, yo, they were always worried about who was following them when they were leaving. So it kind of, even though it didn't apply to me always, it stuck with me to be that alert about things. And also because I tend to wear a lot of jewelry. I have a really nice car.
It has to suck, though, that constant paranoia almost. Like, you're at, you know, Olive Garden.
It's not paranoia, though. Like I said, I'm not like everybody's out to get me, but it's like, let me just be sure of who I am and where I am and what's around me, you know what I mean? So I'll make that extra turn. I'll make that I've been lucky long enough to think that luck is, I really don't believe in luck. It's just a word that you use, because if there was such thing as luck, you know, you could fuck a pig and actually have a real kid. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be lucky.
That would be magic more than luck.
Like, goat magic.
It'd be lucky. I don't believe in magic, so. But it's luck is magic to a certain degree. That's my point in a way.
I think you can be fortunate.
What I'm saying is, like, I've been alert enough that I know that I have actually avoided a few times of actually being robbed or this or that or the other by circumstances and how I reacted to them and how I was alerted to them. There was times when I was in New York at certain clubs where I definitely knew I was being like
case.
Stalked and about to be preyed upon, and I would happen to bump into some cats that I knew, and I'd be like, I'm already alerted to these dudes. Well, you know, and it'd be like, just the fact that now I'm with some peoples I know, and then they know I'm on to them. You know what I mean? You're by yourself. You know what I mean? If you ain't, and then you're oblivious. I mean, like, it's, you know, that's the worst thing, is being oblivious to what's going on around you.
That
you
is a
mean?
Crazy thing. You have to worry about people physically jacking you,
dude.
And taking
I'm not
your
the only
shit.
One. Come on,
everybody
dude.
Does.
You don't think about it all.
Of course, everybody
but,
does.
I mean, like,
but it's a thing that we have to worry
I
about.
Keep
so
it real. I've made a lot of music and all that, but my profile is nowhere near yours. You know what I mean? I've sold a lot of records, whatever. I keep a low profile on purpose. I like going to Ralph's. I like it. I like going to the Olive Bar and making my own little bowl of olives. I like that. I enjoy that. I like getting a little box of Cheez-Its and some olives and going
I
home.
I do, too.
And,
that sounds
and,
good.
And watching whatever it is, the UFC or a football game, whatever. I like to be able to do that. I like to be able to drive my car and enjoy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I keep my music is far more famous than I am as a face.
Right.
You got to worry. You're the face of a sport to a certain degree. So it's like your profile is way bigger.
Very nice to me.
Most people are decent, nice people. We're not worried about those people.
It's true.
Those
you do have
aren't
to worry.
The people we're worried about.
You have to worry with a small percentage that aren't nice. Right. Yeah.
You had a public online battle with Eminem, and I know this is old and everything like that, but man. A lot of us followed it. But it was.
I didn't find out about it until today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was a very. I mean, amongst us, it was known, and our fans, it was known. But it was like this thing over Napster. Like, I never released a record about it because I wasn't trying to profit off the situation. It was a personal thing between me and him.
What'd you guys get mad at each other for?
I got a little mad at him because I went to shake his hand somewhere, and he kind of, before he was Eminem, who he is now, Elvis. You know, the as big as Elvis type character. This was like when he was first coming in, and I just went to shake his hand, and he kind of, I felt disrespected. Found out later that, you know, he didn't really see it the same way. He didn't realize that it was that kind of situation after the fact. Like I said, we haven't had a problem for 10 years.
Right. So
you know,
it was just
a short little thing of like words, words, words.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, it just, you know, just became like, all right, well, you know, you don't talk about me. I won't talk about you. And we'll just keep it at that.
One of the things I've found, and it's pretty easy to grab upon this, is that whenever you're around anybody who's really creative or really out there, really like dynamic in the way they perform, they're also almost always very emotional, you know. And some of them have a good handle on it, like you. You know, you're always a pretty relaxed, mellow, in a certain groove dude. You're never like, I've been around you a bunch of times. I've never seen you like agitated. I've never seen you like stressing about anything. You're always, you know, you maintain a certain pace. Some people really just can't do that.
You know, for me, it's like also I'm not – there's no show. I told you. I said it before, early right. in the show. I've been faking it for years, man. I'm just trying to figure – I'm making music. I don't even know how to make music. I don't even know – you know, this is – all this is luck and icing, and as much as I feel like, yo,
it isn't,
it's
isn't,
what I'm
though.
Meant to do. You know, I feel like it, to a degree it's what it's meant to do. Yeah, it's a lot of luck, dude.
Come yeah,
on.
But
how many
is
guys
that-
do you know as that you feel personally are as smart as you and as talented as you that for one reason or another – without being like they didn't get convicted of rape or nothing stupid mm-hmm. like that, but just it just something doesn't click, like yeah. something doesn't happen for them, and it's like you. I got a bunch of musician friends of mine that are geniuses that I'm just like, why, you know, what is it about them? Why, what? And that element is whatever that planets lining up that just you're at the right place, right time, and you know how to react. You know what I mean? It's,
I agree to accept.
We all are responsible for our fates. I believe I made a choice somewhere along the line that contributed to what I'm doing. It's not just blind luck, but uh-huh. That's an element in the thing. You could have all the other things, the talent, the drive, the work ethic, and if that one